weeks ago, we talked about repentance, and we all wrote on a 3x5 card, and we shredded it. Remember? That's all preparation for the promise. Last week, we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we just heard a couple of testimonies about just a peace and a filling. Okay? Because that's what we're doing. We're going through this. Remember, this is called the Acts of the Apostles, not the sayings of the Apostles. And acting on it and doing it. So tonight is about healing in Acts 3. So after we're done, we're going to have time where you can come up. And if you have a specific thing that you'd like us to pray about healing, if it's mental, emotional, you know, physical, whatever it is, come on up. And we'll pray for it. And we'll go and we'll follow exactly what it says in James. That the elders, call the elders of the church, they will anoint you with oil and pray. Here's the connection here, though. And this is, we've practiced this for many, many years in the ministry. And it says, and if somebody has committed sin, it would be forgiven. So sometimes, as we've taught in our seminars and stuff, you have something physical attached to something spiritual. Not being Job's friends and saying, Job, what'd you do to get this? It's just that we may ask, if you want, you know, like we're praying, do you struggle with such and such, or is there something that you need to, you know, bring before the Lord? Not that we won't pray for you, but it's just we just ask those kind of things because it's in the Word like that. So it says, and if, so it's James 5, and it says, and if there is something, then it would be remitted. I've been into this remitting, which is a nice word. I looked it up, actually, and it's like releasing somebody from a debt. You remit somebody's sin. So that's what we want to do. So if you want, you can come up after we go through this, and we'll pray for you, anoint you with oil, and pray for you, and we'll have testimonies, because that's what happens. We've had wonderful testimonies that they're waiting to get up on the website someday, the ministry, of people being healed, being on a waiting list for shock treatment, crippled over with arthritis coming in, couldn't even have to put hot wax every night, their hands in hot wax because of the arthritis so bad. Healed. These things are all healed. We've had, 17 cases of fibromyalgia healed in the ministry? Prostate cancer, all kinds of different things. And we're like, what? How come nobody knows about this? We'll see why. Come tonight. We'll see. All right. Acts 3. There we go. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Remember that? But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at it? As though by our own power of godliness that we have made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith, in his name, has made this man strong, which you now see and know. Yes, the faith which comes to him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All right. Here's a little outline. You can write this down, okay? I was going to call this the nearly perfect crime, how the church almost destroyed the act, the ministry of healing over the centuries. And basically, we still struggle with it today because we live in a Western culture and we don't, anything that is not put in a petri dish or that you can't dissect or analyze doesn't exist. So God isn't into that, you know? And so, when you see this act, the apostles were not persecuted for preaching. The apostles were not persecuted for teaching. The people were not persecuted for going house to house and fellowship and sharing things with one another. The first persecution is because of healing. This act right here is when the Sadducees rose up and they arrested them and everything else that we'll talk about in this week. Why? Because this act of healing steps into Satan's kingdom and starts taking ground back in that kingdom. You can do all the other stuff. You know, you can preach, teach, worship, do all these different things, but when you start going into his kingdom and start taking back ground, then he'll come after you. Does that mean you're doing something bad? No. It means you're doing something that is God's kingdom coming into and advancing into Satan's kingdom. It's because of healing. So, here's a little outline of, you know, if you want, this is kind of a recipe or a mixture of what happens with the miracle. First thing is purposeful prayer. Verse 1. Purposeful prayer. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They went up to pray. And you have to pray if you're going to see any kind of miracles happen. And that's usually the last thing we do. You know? We don't pray. We don't take time to pray. I know it's been a struggle all week long just to have time to pray because I'm out doing something or, you know, Duke needs to go out or, you know, need to have Tony do something or, you know, what. It's just anything to get you away from that time to pray. And it doesn't really matter on the formula as far as how you pray. Just do it. But to actually get quiet before the Lord, I don't know about you, but it takes me a whole lot of time just to have things quiet down so that you can actually hear. Now, if you tithe your time every day, you would give the Lord 2.4 hours. You got 24 hours. He only asked for what? Well, it says they went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Remember Jesus in the garden says, could you not pray with me 1 hour? And you're like, whoa, an hour. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Just start. Just start with 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You'll find it going in a half an hour. And maybe you're reading as you're praying or after you pray or before you pray. But just to take the time. Do you remember a little pamphlet that was called My Heart, Christ, Home by Robert Munger? So this little pamphlet. You can get them in Christian bookstores. And it was about how your heart had different rooms, like the rooms in your house. And you had like a study, and you had the library, and you had all these different places. Or two places that he didn't want the Lord to get into was this closet that he hid everything in. All the stuff that he didn't want Jesus to look at. And Jesus opened the door one day, and all the stuff came out, and he's like, oh! He says, why don't you want me in this place, you know? It's like the broom closet. You keep all your junk away. He says, that's the stuff I want to clean up. But slowly after they would meet in the study, in the fireplace, he got real busy, and he didn't meet with the Lord. And he'd go by the door, because he was rushing out in the morning, so he made an analogy, and he'd see the fire burning, and he'd see Jesus' head sticking out from the chair. But he was there, but he was too busy too. You know, he was doing stuff for the Lord. And the Lord stopped him one time and says, you know, you think that this time is for you, but it's just as much for me, too. Because it says that the priest ministered unto the Lord, that he actually ministered unto Jesus as much as he's ministering back to you. And you're like, what do I have to offer the Lord? Your presence, your time. He wants to be with you. And we rob him of that time when we're too busy and we're going all over the place. It says the priest ministered unto the Lord. On behalf of the people, yes, But they also, because they were set aside, they ministered unto the world by the sacrifices and the offerings. So, it starts with purpose fulfilled. Okay? Second thing is, verse 4, okay? And fixing his eyes on him as John, Peter said, look at it. So he gave them his attention. This is the guy that's sitting there alone, expecting to receive something. You have to be expecting if you're going to have to hear. Attentiveness and expectancy. And this guy, look, a lame man back in those days, you're talking poverty, poverty, poverty. Right? You have to expect out of your poverty. You don't have anything to give. You know, it's not like, well, I deserve to get healed, Jesus, because, you know, look at all I give or all I do for you. No. Out of your poverty, you say, I'm expecting. I'm expecting something to happen. And that's what it has to be. You have to be prayerful and you have to be expectant. And give the attentive. And being attentive to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm willing. You know, whatever you want to do. Because that's what he wants to know. Are you willing to do? Are you willing to just be? Are you willing to do whatever he asks you to do to be expectant for this miracle to happen? Okay, so we got purposeful prayer, attentiveness, and expectancy. And then verse 6 is authority. Authority in Jesus. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, you know I'm going to say something about that, because today the church finds it difficult to make either of these two claims. We have wealth and influence, but we don't have much spiritual power to work miracles. So back then he goes, silver and gold have I none, but I do have this in the name of Jesus. And now, you know, look at the church. The church has more silver and gold than the Holy Spirit. But we don't have the power. What happened to the power? And maybe there's a connection there. You know, when we have things, and you don't need Jesus, you ask, are you expectant? Are you out of your poverty? No. Like, every one of us gets up in the morning, we have something to eat, and you don't have to go out and get the food, right? It's there, and there's been ready. But one time that we were so needy was when we were on unemployment food stamps and work 17 years ago this month. And I got laid off from the job, and then the Gulf War was going on, and we had nothing. $247 a week on unemployment, food stamps, and work. I know Tony goes standing in the line with everybody. So the Lord got on me and said, you go stand in the line. And yet I remember that Christmas was the most exorbitant Christmas we ever had. The kids had more than enough. The church came through and just, I mean, do you remember opening the door and all these toys came in and all these things for the kids? We had nothing. And it was like the, you know, the whole Christmas tree was all taken up because these gifts were just piled everywhere. And out of our poverty. So, silver and gold have I none. But what I do have is what? The authority of Jesus. Now, when you use somebody's name, okay? It's like the power of attorney. Okay? What is power of attorney? I don't know. Yeah. Somebody signs to you because you've given them over your authority to sign to you. Okay? That's what the Lord did. In my name, do these things. We have power of attorney in the name of Jesus. And we don't use it. We don't appropriate it. We say, oh yeah, I know Jesus can heal, or I know Jesus can do this, or what. But do we pray like that? Do we pray with authority? And this is what they're saying. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Okay? So, the authority of Jesus. But verse 8, you have to appropriate his power. Okay? So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You have to appropriate God's power. Not just talk about it. You have to take the authority and appropriate it. Now, what happens when, you know, if I say, I give you the car, right? And I give you the key. And you're like, oh, this is too much. I don't deserve this. I'm not going to, you know, drive it. You let it sit there. Tony, years ago, this is right at the same time, he would do a lot of meal preparations and doing a lot of shopping, okay? And she didn't tell me this. She just said under her breath to the Lord, "Gee, it would be so nice to have one of these toppers in, what was that, a Best Buy thing or some catalog? Best product? Yeah. Just a little $35 topper, okay? Just even one of those." Just said it to the Lord. Nothing. 2 weeks later, somebody came to the door because we were watching these apartments, you know, and they said, "Do you know that there's a box underneath the hedge over here? Right next to your door." "No, we didn't know. We don't check anything." And so she took it out, and it was Pony Express that delivered it. That's when you had Pony Express, I guess. I don't know what the other one was. Anyway, the card on the top says it is from us to us. There's no way to trace the address. She opened it up, and it's a full Cuisinart with juicer attached. She still had it. Okay, she said she fell back like it was Moses in the burning bush. She didn't use that for 2 weeks. Remember? Because it was like, oh my God. So I one night went out and I got a whole thing of grapefruit. And I said, "We're going to make grapefruit juice." And so I took the attachment and I went, "We made grapefruit juice, drink grapefruit juice." I said, "We've got to use it." That's what it is. You've got to appropriate something that the Lord says, "Do it in my name," or "Use it in my name." Okay? And then verse 9 is praise. You've got to praise him. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was him who sat begging alms from the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Okay? So here's your bookend for this. The first thing is prayer, and the last thing is praise. Okay? You want a miracle to happen? You start praying. So remember who you're praising. You're not praising men. They didn't run around with Peter and John. "Oh, look at Peter and John," and all, whatever. Later on in the book of Acts, you'll see the islanders, you know, bowed down, and they were worshiping and calling one Paul's beast and, you know, whatever, and they're like, "Don't worship us, we're not. We're just human beings," okay? But that's what you have to do. You start with prayer. You be expectant. You have the authority of Jesus. You appropriate his power and his favor. That's it. That's it. Now, he said, "Well, I've prayed for people before and they haven't gotten healed." And, you know, we've all had that, right? Well, I mean, there's certain things that you have to check and make sure. Obviously, like the sin thing that we talked about. Or if there's, you know, we pray with the right motives. Or if we're, you know, too much of us and not enough of the Lord. I mean, there's lots of different things that would be blocked for miracles and for healing. But if you come with an open heart, you come with a humbleness, you come because you want the Lord to be glorified and not you to be glorified, things will happen. Things will happen. Okay? Now, you know the right God that you're calling on in order to get healed. I know that sounds like a silly question, but I'll tell you what. I brought him along to me because, you know, sometimes he's my sidekick sometimes. Okay? I had a guy today, I told him I was doing this thing, and he was like, "That's religious." I said, "You know what, you need to come in 2 weeks because I'm going to talk about a religious spirit." So, look, I only use this because when Tony got us, wanted to be kids in Trinidad. But I like bobbleheads on my kids. I have bobbleheads. I'm not going to have bobbleheads either. Everyone in this culture has one of these. You know why? Because you need Jesus' head the way you want to. He's fine. "Oh, but we're in love. Can't we live together?" "Oh, it's okay. We love one another." "No, really. I had a couple today. Her mother's 66, and she's going to stack up with another 67-year-old man." I said, "When did they get married?" He goes, "That's our question." He says, "Is it like, you know, you're worried about a prenuptial agreement or something?
Sign it, you know.
So why would you live in sin if you, you know, they're both widowed?" "What's going on?" "Oh, this is crazy. So that's what happens. As our culture, we have bobblehead Jesus. Because we have created a God in our own image instead of expecting who God is. And he made us in his image. So, what is the God that you worship? If you're going to call upon the name of Jesus, right, you know which God this is?
And I know it's like, oh my God, what are you doing here?
Look,
Jesus has three titles in this little section here.
Okay?
One of them is servant.
Okay?
It says, Peter says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his
servant Jesus.
Isn't that interesting that Jesus will have a title,
servant?
So this is what servant means,
a slave, the king's attendant.
The Son of God was an attendant and a slave. That's what he brought himself down to us in that.
He was a servant.
The next one is holy one. Isn't that interesting?
Servant Jesus, and he delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And you denied the Holy One and just together. Holy One means consecrated to God, sacred, pure, majesty. That's what he was, because he was the most humblest person walk on the earth, and God raised him up above everybody else. And the last one is the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. It says here, you killed the Prince of Life. It's interesting that killed and life are together there. You killed the Prince of Life, because the Prince of Life is he who has life from himself. He is, remember, the way, the truth, and the life. It's not like I know the way of life. I am life. You killed life. That's what he says. He says, you killed life. He who has life from himself, the perfect leader on the path of life. That's what Jesus is. So those three titles right there, the servant, the Holy One, and the Prince of Life. That's the kind of God that you worship. That's the kind of God that heals people. Now, one more place. Last week, I went too fast, and I went through in the Exodus 34, and I told you that there's attributes of God in there, where he describes himself to Moses. So, take your Bible, go to Exodus 34, and I'm going to go through the characteristics that God describes himself to Moses. It matches what we're talking about with Jesus, because they're all one, the Godhead, okay? But this is your God, okay? So, Exodus 34, okay, so that we won't go too fast through this. Exodus 34. If you're wondering about the character of the God that you worship, the DNA of God, this describes who God says he is. There's not too many places where God describes himself. But to Moses, he's saying, look, this is who you worship. So, before we pray for people and ask in the name of Jesus, I want us to know who we're asking from. This is how he says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. Okay? Visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and the children's children for the third and fourth generation. I'm on 34:6. Yeah. Exodus 34:6. So this is God's DNA. Okay? He's compassionate. Now, the reason why we don't see God the way he is because we have junky filters from our upbringing and from our families and everything else, and we see God as a killjoy, and he's not there, and he's abandoned us, and everything else. That's our problem, that we have to get those filters clean. This is who God says he is. He's compassionate, which means merciful. The Old Testament, it says that in the Old Testament, God met us at the mercy seat. Okay? The mercy seat is between the two cherubs where the Ark of the Covenant was, as a mercy seat. Everybody says, hey, I don't want to worship the Old Testament God. I want to worship the New Testament God. The same thing. Well, if you want to just stay on the New Testament, he'll meet you at the judgment seat. 1 Corinthians 5. But you want to exchange that? Okay? We all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Mercy seat, judgment seat. Second thing, gracious. This is the word for gracious. Benignant. B-E-N-I-G-N-A-N-T. Benignant. This is what it means. He's beneficial, good influence. That's what God is. He is beneficial and of good influence.
number three. He's long-suffering, slow to anger, patient.
Like in traffic, like we all are. Right? Well, God, if you were driving in traffic, what would you be doing?
Our culture is rageful.
It's full of rage because it's mostly in depression, and depression shows in rage. God help us if people can't get the one, either medication, excuse me, but also if they can't take care of their depression and rage, because it'll fly off.
And God's calling us to be long-suffering in a culture that's rageful.
Many times he asks for the opposite trait to develop in you, and he gives you that opposite trait. So if you take the fruit of the Spirit, say, Lord, help me to be kind this year. What do you think you're going to get? You're going to get people who are unkind and nasty because he wants you to practice being kind. Don't pray for love. Yeah.
All right, next one, goodness.
Kind and faithful. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's a good man. You know, evil came evil. He was a good man, right? Because he just passed away. You know?
So they always say,
he's a good man.
He's a good man. Deserves to go to heaven. Well, you know what?
Jesus even said this. He says, only God is good. Matthew 19:17. Only God is good. We're not. Forget it. We have little snippets.
Jesus went around doing good, Acts 10:38. He is to you what you need him to be, and he will develop in you the trait
that you ask for the most by using the opposite trait. Okay? So I'm not giving you two different things here. It's just you ask for a trait to be developed. Lord, let me be kind. Let me be loving, gentle, good. And he will answer your prayer, but he will answer it in giving you the opposite trait of people in your life.
Next one is truth. Okay? Reliable, firm, faithful, stable.
That's what that means. Goodness and truth. Anybody have trouble with trust?
Okay.
We have a little definition. Trust is integrity plus consistency over time. Integrity plus consistency over time. Only God
can develop the trust back again because he's reliable, firm, faithful, and stable.
But he's the only one that's truth. You got to walk in his truth and trust his truth.
Forgiving. Pardon. Amnesty. That's what it means. It's a legal release from the penalty of an offense. Like we talked about, we're remitting somebody of a sin. Our definition of forgiveness is, if you never do it again, I'll forgive you. Right? Come on, you know that. Or if you confess the hurt that you caused me, then I'll forgive you. We have all these little things attached to them.
Was Jesus condemned enough? Then why don't we forgive ourselves, and why do we still hate ourselves? If all of the stuff, all of the disapproval of God was put on the cross, why do we still hold on to those things? That's bobblehead Jesus. See? Because he did suffer enough, he was punished enough, and he was condemned enough. That's it. So, it brings us back to this. That's the kind of God that you pray to. That's the kind of character. That's the kind of DNA that your God has. And if it's any other thing, then basically what we do is we kind of, you know, pick one from column A and two from column B, and we end up with Chinese Christianity. Because it's a mixture of stuff. Instead of, this is what God says he is. This is his DNA. This is what he wants to work in us. And this is who I worship. And so if I'm going to call upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's the kind of God I'm calling on. All those characteristics. Not things that I make up in my head or based on my experiences in life that I say, this is the way God is. Okay?
So, that's all I have. I just wanted to make sure that we're going to pray tonight. This is who we're praying to, and this is what we're praying. Prayer.
expectant, taking the authority of Jesus, appropriating his power, and praising the Lord. That's it. So, we'll do it like we did last week. See, what's neat is I've people ask me every week two questions. What do you think they are? Some of the pastors that had prayed for us to start and this and that. Some people that have maybe shown up a couple times and, you know, everybody goes to different churches and services and stuff. They always ask me two questions. One is, how many people go, right? And you know, my standard answer is between 400 and 500. That's true. You have between 400 and 500, anywhere in between there. And they always, and they ask me, do you actually do the stuff that you're teaching? I said, We don't just have the sayings. Like I said, it's not the sayings of the apostles. It's the acts of the apostles. We're doing it. We have the time. We're small enough. I don't care if we even filled all these chairs. We should still do it. Because that's what we're supposed to do, you know? And I don't have a captive audience except Saturday, you know? You're going to come to the house on Monday or something? Do it. So, we'll put a chair up here, and we'll have some oil, and Steve will play some background music. And if you have something physical, something emotional, doesn't matter what, you're welcome to come up here. We'll pray over you just like we did last week, but this is more asking for you to be healed. And we may ask you a couple questions, you know, just to check some things out, but we will pray for healing.